Hi, welcome to our 10th podcast of Photography and Business Insight, what it takes to be successful.
So, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. We are in the middle of summer. Oh my goodness, the middle of August already.
It has flown by, hasn't it?
It has flown by. It's been a really busy summer. On a personal note, my son got married this weekend in Connecticut.
Yes.
Yay. That's one down, one to go.
There you go.
So what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about stepping out of our comfort zone when it comes to photography.
Stepping out of my comfort zone. So I'm trying to think about that. My comfort zone has been mainly my commercial work.
Mm-hmm.
It's been some social event work. It's been portraits. It's been families. It's been kids. But I also have another side.
Yes, the other side of David Fox,
which a lot of people really don't know. Something I've been doing for many years, which is where my roots really began, which was doing a lot of fine art photography.
Right.
Fine art being fine art nudes. And we talked about that in a previous podcast when I had gone up to study at the Maine Media Workshops. I took some classes up there over the years. But going to these workshops, they're wonderful. They last a week. You gain an immense amount of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge, of course, is what do you do with it afterwards, after the workshop is over?
Right.
You know, after you spend a week out in the middle of nowhere, in ponds, in quarries.
An old barn.
Old barns, I mean, and sharing and camaraderie and all the things that go along with that. And then you come back to your, quote, everyday life, which isn't about photographing nudes. Any stretch of the imagination. So the reality, you know, of coming back into the real world, I mean, how do you practice? How do you continually grow as a photographer? The work you do every day is wonderful, it's fabulous, it pays the bills, but it doesn't necessarily feed the soul. So having come back from the Maine Media Workshops and working with Elizabeth Opelenik and Joyce Tennyson, and then locally with Karen Rosenthal with her workshops, it's been an amazing experience, but how do you continually grow from the workshop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, short of taking another workshop, and those are great, but after a while, aside from the expense, you know, you go away. It's not in an expensive proposition.
Right.
How can you do something and continue the growth process? So stepping out of your comfort zone is saying, okay, I now want to expand on what I've already learned.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered what I needed to do was find a way to continue the growth. So what I did was, is I went, looked on the internet and said, okay, there's got to be some models I can get. There's got to be some people, whether male, female, doesn't matter, who would be willing to come in and do some fine art modeling. So I went to sites like Model Mayhem and mm-hmm. One Model Place and, you know, some others. And I looked around and put up a page. I joined these online sites. I put up a little description and then a web portfolio of some of my artwork. Then what I did was, is I didn't wait for people to find me. I went and I started searching, and it gives you different categories that you can go look at models. If you only want to work with fine art models, you only want to work with fashion models, etc. I decided to keep it very narrow and say, okay, I only want to work with fine art models, models who want to do photography totally from an artistic, creative standpoint, a la Ruth Bernard, a la Edward Weston, and some other amazing photographers who photographed the human body in a way that was representative of blending the body and the landscape together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Karen does.
Yes.
Her work is just beautiful. So I did that for a while and found a bunch of models, did a lot of chasing to create these images. And once I found people, had a meet with them, described my vision for a cup of coffee because I wanted to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't with everybody, but I found that those that I did really do that with and really connected with understood what I was after.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it gave them a chance to expand and say, okay, this is what we want to do. This is my vision of it, and I'd like to try this or try that. And I did that for about 2 or 3 years. And some experiences were really, really good. Other experiences, they were just so-so, but that's what happens when you do it for a while and you meet different people and different personalities, and every one of them, they signed a release, so I can use the images any way I want, which is really gives you that freedom and flexibility. If you want to have a show at some point or you want to sell the artwork, it allows you to do that. So I did that, left it alone after a while, went back to my commercial work, expanded and grew the business, and recently, within the last couple months, had another model contact me just out of the blue. I wasn't really thinking about doing it. The thought process was, as I was really thinking about wanting to take another workshop this year, but given the fact that my son was getting married, I had to find another way, and this happened to present itself. So this young lady emailed me, and then we decided to meet for coffee, and Alyssa came with me, and we had a nice long conversation. And as we were talking about all this and kind of looking at some pictures, sitting in a Starbucks, trying to be very discreet, because not everybody understands nudity, at least from an artistic standpoint. Some people perceive it as something entirely different. But it was your first time.
Yes, it was. Having gone to the Art Institute of Boston, they did have nude photography classes, and I never really had the opportunity to take it. It wasn't exactly high on my priority list. I thought it was interesting. I think the images can be very beautiful if they're done artistically, but sometimes there are lines that can be crossed, and I'm more of a landscape, cityscape, macro, not a working with people. I mean, I do some people photography, but it's definitely not something I do a lot of. And then working with people who are nude, that's just a whole different level. So definitely way out of my comfort zone, but it was an opportunity that presented itself, and I decided to jump on board and take advantage of the opportunity and get out of my comfort zone and do something new.
So what was it like for your first time?
Okay, at the very beginning, yes, it was a little awkward, but once I got past that, started to feel more comfortable working together, and then I started looking for line, shape, form, composition. She moved a little bit too quickly, which I've heard is common with more amateur models, that you have to remind them to slow down and hold poses. No, I was just constantly looking, and since I don't do this type of photography a lot, one of the lenses I brought was a little bit slow in low lighting, so that was a little problematic.
What did you take away from
that session? I wound up buying a new lens.
It's already cost you money.
I have to have that 35 millimeter 1.8.
Yep, you did. You went out and bought a new lens?
I did, a couple days later.
How do you think it would benefit you with your photography that you were doing?
Well, I really love my 50 millimeter 1.8. I've had so much fun using that. And I looked on Amazon, and it was reasonably priced, and it was another prime 1.8, and I decided that I really wanted to get this lens. I had the opportunity to use it again recently, photographed the Zenker Bridge, but I'm glad to have that as part of my collection now.
Why did you find you needed that lens?
I needed a faster lens, something with a wider aperture that would work better in the lower light.
What about when you were actually photographing the human form? Did you find that using your 50 just didn't encompass everything that you wanted it to encompass?
Oh yeah, sometimes it was too close. When she was laying down, I needed to be back further away. And I had my zoom went to 18. That was plenty wide enough, but it was slow. 35 seemed like it would be a good place in between.
Now that you've had a chance to use it, do you feel it was the right lens for the right job?
It worked out great for the second shoot. There is a little bit of distortion. There was a photo that I took, and it was a close-up of her foot with her hand resting on it. And you can see the forearm. And the forearm is much smaller than her hand and foot, so there's a little bit of distortion from the wide angle. But I wound up cropping it, and that became a much more interesting image without the distortion. So it's a new piece of equipment. Of course, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve using it. It's always good to learn something new, try something different.
And you belong to a light painters group.
It's a fine art photography group called New England Light Painters.
You decided that you wanted to get some critique.
I did, yes, because this is so completely different from what I've done. I've been a member of this group for about 10 years. I've done a few model shoots, but I've never done nude. But it was such an interesting experience, and I wanted to get feedback from other photographers from an artistic perspective, hear what they had to say.
Was it helpful?
It was, yes. One of the members there was the one who pointed out that the forearm was a little distorted, and there was another image where Rebecca was standing in front of a graffiti wall, and one person didn't like the image because her hands were up. It made her uncomfortable that her hands were up, but her hands were in prayer hands position, which is a yoga pose, and so I didn't see it that way. I feel like I'm pretty sensitive to that and not want to cross boundaries. There were some other images where hands were up in a different position that I wasn't comfortable with. At the time, you know, oh, this is very theatrical, this is really fun, and then I started to think, there's kind of a darkness, and I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with this. So I was just careful about what I chose, and to me the graffiti is very fun and whimsical, a lot of curvy lines, abstract, it doesn't have a darkness to it. Love the way her hair was curling down her back, and it kind of mimicked the curls in the graffiti, and her hands was in prayer position, and there was nothing dark or seedy about it to me, but it evoked something in somebody else.
That's interesting, you know, it's just a fine line between nudity and nakedness.
Right.
And I think that sometimes with just a simple twist of the body or a simple turn of the body or a simple, you know, the way the light is hitting the body, that can make the difference between what appears to be artistically nude and what appears to be naked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that you just learn over time. I mean, I'm still learning, and I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, sometimes what I perceive to be nude, someone else, as you say, will look at it, like my wife will look at it, and just have a completely different perspective on it, that something I've never seen.
Right.
Or didn't intend to make or intend to do.
Right, like with the fabric, which, you know, I think creates a beautiful effect. And Rebecca had a lot of fun playing with the fabric and incorporating the mask.
But, you know, some people would perceive the fabric and how it's positioned or how it's wrapped in a way that could be very negative. And I think that, again, it's just very simple. Sometimes when you're in the moment and you're actually making images and you're trying to think with the environment that you're in. And we did this, the first shoot we did was really all in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
We set it up really simply. We kind of darkened out the light coming into the studio to just give you some sense of the setup. I have a 1,400 square foot studio with about 800 square feet of shooting space with south light that comes in all through the window. Windows all the way down the side of one wall that leads to the outside, and we're on the third floor. So the funny thing about the light is that it's this 100-year-old dirt that kind of sits on the windows, which I never clean, and then the light from the sun filters through that. And the winter time of the sun is really low in the sky, and you get the end of the day, you get these beautiful orangey crisscross light that kind of falls in the backdrop and falls on the hardwood floor. This time of the year, the sun is much higher in the sky, so you don't get that. It's really interesting. We put on a black fabric, which we tacked to the wall, and took out pretty much all of that light, and then we just use our mono lights. We didn't use flash at all, and that's what we use for light in the studio. And the other wonderful thing we have, my studio is in an old mill building, and there are stairwells in the mm-hmm. building, and with these big old bay windows, and what you've got is this stone cement wall with probably, again, 100-year-old dirt that mm-hmm. kinds of goes along this old wood staircase that goes all the way from the basement to the top floor. And we've got a number of different stairwells, so they're all just slightly different, and I brought models into the stairwells and have gotten some really interesting effects
mm-hmm.
because you get this beautiful soft light that comes in and it's very bright, and then it kind of just drops off because you have the one light source coming in from
right.
the window, and mm-hmm. then
so it's very soft and diffused in one area,
so there's a lot of a light fall off. It's almost like the inverse square law, where the light comes into a certain point and then it just drops
mm-hmm.
suddenly, and that's kind of what the light is like in the stairwell. But it can be gorgeous
mm-hmm.
if you use it correctly.
Right, which I'd never done before, and I wasn't really sure how to use it. And then when I saw your photos, I'm like, oh wow, that is really cool.
So as we continued through the first session, there was kind of a mural wall that was painted. It's kind of an ongoing artistic creative statement that one of my neighbors keeps doing. And
mm-hmm.
every time it seems like I come to the studio, it's always slightly different.
Uh-huh.
And some days you come in and he's completely changed the whole back. It's like whatever was there is gone.
Just
gone. He starts from scratch. So it's kind of an ongoing display in this one little area. And when I walked in that morning, I looked at the wall and he had painted all these squiggly lines all over the wall. And we're talking about a wall that's maybe 20 feet long and about 6 or 7 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a shelf above it. I was like, oh, this would be really cool. Because it was like black background with blue paint. And I just thinking what the blue would look like in black and white, because I knew it would be a shade of gray.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also kind of like chalk, whatever was underneath it, he had drawn at one point. And I said, boy, putting a solid colored body, because you know the body photographs 18% neutral gray,
mm-hmm.
against this would probably look really cool. And then the other thing was there were two little hanging lights. We left them on, we darkened the hallway from the overhead light, and we just left those lights on, and there was like a little ladder that you could climb up to the shelf. And we used just that light to photograph her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cool. And this particular model, Rebecca, was a dancer. And so she knows how to move her body. And I always find the best models are dancers.
Yes, they know how to hold their hands and position themselves.
Exactly. So just tips and pointers, if you decide to go this route, that you, or if you can find, ideally, a model who happened to be a dancer, I think you'll find your images will come out even beyond your expectations.
Right.
So in the end with this, after our first session, we had already scheduled a second session. We're very pleased with how it came out. We may have probably made way too many images.
Yes, but it was fun. It was a great learning experience.
It was, and we were quite exhausted, actually.
It was a lot of work.
So, and we did this for a few hours. I mean, it was pretty intense for the few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still many other places to explore within the studio. We also, a couple weeks ago, we just did another session with two models, as it turned out. And the whole dynamic changed once you have a second model. And in this particular case, it happened to be another female model versus another male model. I've worked with as many as five models at the same time. And that gets pretty chaotic because now your attention is drawn over many people and you're constantly observing and you're constantly trying to look at what each person is doing and trying to entwine them all together. I've done that once. I probably wouldn't do that again. What I learned from it was just too much. It was just too many people, too many things to keep track of. So just some other things that we tried using some Mylar, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, with the reflection in it, that's really cool.
You try and photograph someone with Mylar, it actually is very distorting. It almost looks like water.
Yes, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful, but you have to use it sparingly, otherwise it becomes too distorted. And we've hung Mylar, and I've done a lot of different things with it. It's kind of like having mirrors. Everything just reflects back at you, so you have to be kind of careful with it. What else did we do? We went back into the stairwells, did some pictures. We went into one of the other stairwells. We found some other walls within the building that were really cool. So what we were really trying to do is expand the vision. And yes, we do all this regular stuff every single day. It's great. We enjoy it. It pays the bills. But how, as an artist, can you continually grow?
Right.
Now that I've made all these images, now what do I do with them?
Mm-hmm.
And what I have actually started doing is using my iPad. There are a whole bunch of wonderful programs that are available. Like, well, if you go on the App Store and go under photography, you'll find a whole bunch of different effects programs. You can wirelessly transfer the images into your iPad, which works fantastic. And we should probably do a show just talking about apps, the photography apps.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So you can wirelessly transfer images in and out of your iPad from your computer or whatever you're using. It's great bringing them into these apps and playing with them and then combining images and saving multiple versions of different things as I go along. And then I can export them all out. They're all full high-res files. And then I can go and say, okay, now I'm going to start printing some of this stuff. So the other couple things I would mention about doing this thing is, one, you want to make sure that all of your models should be of age. You never work with minors, ever.
Never.
Never, ever. And always have, working around females or males who are nude, always have a chaperone. So.
Yes.
Always have another person that is there, whether they're photographing or whether they're just sitting in a chair reading a book. Doesn't matter. There should always be another person in there. One, for your own safety.
Mm-hmm.
Two, for the model's safety. It makes the models feel a lot more comfortable.
Yes.
Some models show up by themselves. Other models will bring someone else with them.
They'll bring a friend.
Which is smart, because it's a professional environment. You don't want to step over that line,
right,
or create an environment that is uncomfortable for anyone.
Right.
And there's just too much that goes on today, and you don't want to create a situation that shouldn't be created in the first place. So a lot of things to consider. And, you know, in a workshop environment, you've always got people around.
Right.
You know, there's always somebody there. You know, it's a professional teaching environment. This is a private thing. It's not a real teaching environment. It's more about creating art. So you have to always keep that in mind. And you always have to make sure that you're protecting your own self. I hate to be selfish, but there is some of that in there.
Right.
So for me, working with fine art nudes, you know, and working with available light, what I learned by photographing the human form in the existing environment translates into my regular everyday work when I'm working in an environment that I walk into a room in a hotel that the room has been transformed into the Caribbean, or it's been transformed, it's got all this funky light and it's got all this weird stuff going on, and your jaw kind of drops when you walk in because it's like, wow.
Sensory overload. Almost.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, how do I translate that?
Mm-hmm.
How do I record that in a way that tells that story?
Right.
So I feel like, at least for me, my basic roots have been fine art photography. And by working with a subject who's just standing there with, you know, you're dealing with a body, and then you're dealing with the environment and nothing else other than the body, the environment, and the light. It's the same thing to me when I walk into a corporate environment where the room has been transformed into whatever it's been transformed into with crazy lighting and everything else. I'm able to capture the vision of that room and tell the story of that space. And I see it the exact same way.
Oh, it's interesting because it's so completely opposite.
The only difference is there's no nude standing there.
Yeah, the events, there's so much going on with the lighting and the decor and music and studio, you know, there's very soft music and
not always
lighting and
not always, but it's the same thought process, because what you're doing is you're creating a vision out of the model standing there, the environment, whether it happens to be against a black backdrop or against a stone wall or whatever it might be, and that's all that's there. It's very simple. And yes, when you walk into these other environments, they're far more complex, but having worked in lighting that is very similar, where I was saying earlier, where you've got this bright light
and then
it just falls off, mm-hmm. It's pretty much the same thing when you walk into these environments that have been uplit and get all these lights kind of flowing around with gobos and all this other stuff that's mm-hmm. happening. It's the same type of thing. The light is constantly moving and then falling off, and you get really extreme bright light and then darkness.
Right.
So it's almost the exact same thing, again, except you don't have a model standing there
right.
in the middle of it, mm-hmm. unless it happens to be a fashion model or something. On a runway. It's then how do you record the environment in a way, thinking in terms of, okay, how can I make this artistically creative? How can I record this in a way that really tells the story of that room?
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, goes all the way back to the basics of photography, which mm-hmm. is light, shape, form, composition, which is what you mentioned when we first mm-hmm. started the podcast.
Right.
So it's kind of an education in photography that brings us all back to the basics. That's why I continually do nudes, because it lets me expand and it lets me grow as a photographer, seeing light in a very different way. And when I walk into these other environments, seeing it in a very different way, but very similar. That make sense?
Yes.
Okay. That's my philosophy lesson for today. So to wrap up, today's podcast has really been about having fun.
Yes, doing something artistic that feeds your soul, stepping outside of your comfort zone and growing as a photographer, as an artist.
Well, I hope this has been educational as well as informative. I would encourage you, whether you decide to do nudes or landscapes or whatever it is, that you take some time this summer, and there's still some summer left, that you take some time and get out and find out what motivates you. Maybe just do something you've never done before and say, you know what, I'm going to take a day or two and I'm going to get out of the office and the studio and I'm just going to get out there and I'm going to try some different things. And
give yourself permission to play.
Give yourself.
Go have fun, do something different.
And you know what? If you fail at it, then you failed. But you know, you can learn more in failure than you can in make beautiful images. And think of it as an exercise. Don't think mm-hmm. of it as, I'm going to make these amazing, great images today.
Right. You just go in and you see what happens and then learn what you can. You can't start something new and expect to be pro. You have to see it more as a growth opportunity.
Yeah, learning process.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. Well, thank you all for listening today. We hope this was very informative. It's been fun for us.
It has. Thank you, and happy shooting.